Yo, what's up, everybody? You are now listening to From the East Side with Love. As always, it's your boy Kosher, and I got a special guest in the building. Before I introduce him, you gotta know, man, this guy's a big thing coming. Already has his name out there, but he in the dirt because he's doing more work, you know, and you gotta start from the bottom, but I know he's coming, and he's not really at the bottom. He's not, because he does his own thing. He's his own boss, and that's what we all strive for. And so, like, you know, he can make time whenever he wants, and he made time today to talk. And I feel like it's a perfect time to get him on, because we tried to do an episode before, and that was before the Jay-Z album, 444, that just came out about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And but what he was talking about, Jay-Z basically laid out, dare I say, the blueprint. But is it really the blueprint? I don't know. We're gonna pick this guy's mind. And but without further ado, Jay Carr, let the people know where they can find you at. Let the people know who you are, man. And let's get it. Let's go.
What's up, bro? What's up, all the listeners? You guys can find me at Twitter. IMPJCARR, JCARR, just always remember ours. JCAR Music on Facebook, JCAR Music on YouTube. But right now, it's really not about me. I'm trying to put together my record label, Car Club Music. Once again, two R's in the name, and you can find it anywhere with Car Club Music. There's only one Car Club Music. YouTube.com/CarClubMusic, Facebook.com/CarClubMusic, anywhere. So, pretty open and shut book.
For so, thank you very much for that. Bruh, so, you know, I told the people that you were on, and unfortunately, that audio was kind of whack, so hopefully this audio is a little bit better. And I'll take blame for that, because Carr did nothing wrong. Jay Carr did nothing wrong. But I'm going to call him Carr. Let the people know. I'm going to call him Carr. Is that cool with you, bro?
That's cool, man.
All right. So, man, the Jay-Z album just dropped. You know, it's I listen to it daily. I just like the little things that he says. And I feel like, you know, there's a couple of songs that I could probably pick your mind on. In particular, Moonlight. I do want to. I don't know if you're. Are you familiar with the album first? Let's get that out of the way.
Yes. I'm very familiar with the album. I almost played it out first 72 hours. So, I revisit it very often. Like, I know it's only been out for like a week or so, but, I play it pretty much, like, I give it one spin a day. But yeah, that album was amazing, in my opinion.
What do you get from the message? Because you haven't talked about your history yet with the people, but I think you and a lot of entrepreneurs and just people just trying to build and make their own, what did you get?
I got a lot of things. The overall thing that I got, one of the biggest things that stood out to me, is that being an artist who takes pride in their lyrics, the thing is that, you know, I watched a lot of interviews and whatnot, and I watched the interview with Kevin Hart on The Breakfast Club, and he was talking about chasing the box office and chasing the art form. And I was always caught in the two, because it's like, okay, I can do, you know what I'm saying, pretty much anything. You know, I always pride myself in being a very versatile artist, and I love everything I do. But the thing is that one of the things that me and many unknown artists fight for is just being heard, you know, and especially with me doing it with no type of big label support. Not saying that, you know, people like to throw out, say, oh, I'm an independent artist. And when the reality is they're just somebody who's trying to get the music out there, not necessarily an independent artist. Independent artist is more so a choice, if you get what I'm saying, where a lot of these people who claim independence would sign in a heartbeat.
Let me cut you through real quick. How do you feel about Chance? Because Chance, the rapper, moves as he is supposed to if he were an independent artist. But then he gets, you know, he gets a Grammy. We know he has, I think, what's his name, Dior or somebody behind him, or something. I can't remember the name. I don't know why it literally slips. But he has these Apple commercials. He's definitely not getting independent artist money. He's getting more than that. He's kind of getting, like, label money. So how do you feel about a rapper, and I know this is a tangent, and man goes on a tangent, but how do you feel like a rapper like Chance, who is basically the biggest quote-unquote independent artist, but is he really an independent artist?
In a case like Chance, you have to define independence. I'm an independent artist. Could you tweet me? Can I sign the contract? That's a category too. Why are you trying to define independence? Because what independence becomes, it was like a pretty way of saying I'm a struggling artist. Back in the early 2000s, if you didn't have a deal, nobody wanted to hear you. Now it's the cool thing that you have a deal. So we'll stop having a deal as being independent. In a case, he's not the struggling artist in that independent. I believe he's truly independent, but at the same time, his label might as well be a major label. I don't have a statistician, but also the music and interviews. I don't think Chance is making a Master P or a Suge Knight or Diddy. You know, all the historical independent people that we've had use. In Chance's case, he's very well independent, but it's more of a Death Jam to Interscope. I haven't seen any of my things like that because whenever I just look at something and give my opinion on it, I'll luckily grab it and take it. I'm just explaining what I see based off of my experiences. So any artist that signs any label, they're no longer independent artists. So, this is my opinion. So going back to No Limit, the only independent artist was Master P. That makes sense. The only independent artist is J. Carr. So anybody that I sign, they're no longer independent. So now, bringing a chance, where I said I don't think he's in the boardroom, or making calls. I believe he is signed to somebody, and since he is signed to somebody, he's an independent artist. Now, he's probably a part of an independent structure, going back to the whole Rockefeller to Def Jam, because he's not on a traditional major label. But once you are signed to somebody, you're no longer an independent artist, but I believe he's a part of an independent situation. But then, at the same time, you know, once Rockefeller was on next to Def Jam, they were out of the category of a, let me see, think of a smaller label that people know, TIG, Think It's a Game, the one with Rich Homie Quan and Trinidad James. once you get to a certain level, you might as well be a major label. I mean, if you connect it to Apple, you're connected to all these other things. What's a major label? You know, it's a big label with big money, big connections. So you're no longer an independent label or on an independent label if your label's able to make these big deals. So you're essentially a major label artist pretty much now.
Okay.
Yeah. Hope that was clear enough.
Anyway, I think that, you know, people are still going to have to talk to you on Twitter or something to ask you these questions, but I got the gist of it for sure. Now, let's move on. Let's go back to the 444. Jay-Z, he brings out this album, and it's supposed to, for me, it's more of an album to inspire the youth than to do anything else, because I think we're in such a creative culture where people have different ways to express themselves and won't be viewed in a negative way, you know. And I feel like Jay-Z is also trying to carry that narrative and trying to, you know, help or like boost that. But my thing is that, and I have a couple of like issues with the album, and it's not necessarily his fault, because I don't know where the place he's coming from. I like the message, but again, I'm gonna go back to what I was telling you off air. If you're already on this path, which I am, which you are, what he's saying doesn't really do anything, but it's a cosign like from a big brother. So it's like, yeah, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, so you're already on there, bam, okay. Well, I already know this, Jay. Like, I know that's what I'm trying to do. I feel like it's something that the youth needs to grasp, but I feel like Jay does not really have the youth's ear. Like, yeah, he went platinum, but it wasn't off the youth's back. I know the youths aren't, the kids aren't buying his album. They're probably streaming it, and if not streaming it, you know, they're probably getting it in illegal ways. And if they are getting any, period. But I don't still think that he has their voice. I think he has a voice. I think he has the ear of the older generation, and it maybe will trickle down to the younger generation. But I feel like the younger generation needs to soak it up more than the older generation, because the older generation should already have been on this wave. Now, when you have a very popular as a rookie already basketball player named Lonzo Ball, we all know him because of his dad and his brand Triple B, come out and say Issa, which is 21 Savage album, is greater than 444. I understand it's one man's opinion. I understand that he doesn't speak for the youth of America, and I understand that, you know, he's just that kid, but he got 14,000 plus retweets off of that. You know, he did get some flack. People were coming at him, and I know other rookies were like, "Hell no!" You know, 444 greater than this or whatever. But it's like that shows you something. For somebody to say that for a kid in his, and he doesn't even talk. He really, it's not like he's dad. You know, he got 14,000 retweets. It's probably gonna be the most retweets he's gotten. In a while, of all the retweets, unless he does something like really crazy or whatever, you know.
Let me say this real quick. I think too much weight has been given to the youth's opinion. You're only a child for what, 15, 16 years, and out of that, you're only a semi-adult for probably about 8 years, and then around 2021, reality starts to begin to set in. So, whether or not Jay-Z is the youth immediately with this, that's fine. Eventually they'll get it, because at the end of the day, you can live to 20 years two times in life, and you do it once as a kid. So you're going to do it again, God willing, if you make it that far, to be 40, and then again to be 80. So between 25 moving up to like 80 or however long you're alive, you know, you're an adult. So, at the end of the day, whether or not Lonzo Ball or whoever gets the message that's like, you know, young or says 21 Savage's albums, whatever, those principles are going to stick at the end of the day, what Jay-Z's talking about. And eventually, as much as he's trashing it, his father's doing exactly the same thing. You know, the bloodline, his dad is not taking advances, huh? Me and my family out here taking real chances, huh? You know what I'm saying? So he probably is just blind to it. He doesn't see. I mean, to him, he just sees his dad doing what he does. But, I mean, I don't believe a, 19, 20, 21-year-old's mind or 23, whatever's mind is going to grasp the impact. Because I think about Barack Obama. My niece, who was born in the middle of her election, as of his presidency, she sees, oh, a president. We're black president. Cool. Our president is black. That's all she knows. And she's 7. But then somebody who's like me, who's 30, I'm like, I didn't even think that was going to happen. You know, Tupac said it. We ain't ready to see a black president. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like one of the issues with society and things going on right now is people like, oh, the youth. And even with music. I mean, hip hop is a young art form. What? How old? 30, maybe 40 years. So it's like it's still in its infancy. So we're giving way too much. I don't want to say way too much, but the narrative of the youth, it's going to dissolve eventually, because I hated Jay-Z when I was 19, 20, 21. But then when I finally decided to do my own thing, all of a sudden Reasonable Doubt spoke to me much later on in life. You know, when before that, I just cared about I like my lyrical stuff. Don't get it twisted. But Jay-Z became my favorite rapper once a lot of the things he spoke about spoke to me directly. And I revisit all those albums that came out that I brushed off. And I mean, he's getting a ton of streams from me now that he didn't get from me at 16. So, and I'm not saying this to like put Jay-Z up on this super pedestal, but it's just one thing that comes with life is like wisdom, and things don't change. The script never changes. Only the actors do. So, when you talk about some stuff, some real shit in life, people are going to deal with it. And yeah, so what? Lonzo Ball gets a million retweets on saying 21 Savage's album is better than Jay-Z's album. The issues that are spoken about on Jay-Z's album, he's a fruit off of that tree. So, I mean, there's reality and then there's stuff that we enjoy. So, I mean, I enjoy 21 Savage's album, but in terms of reality, I got to give it to Jay-Z.
I don't disagree, but I feel like if a 21 Savage would have came out with a Jay-Z album, the 444, like that would have meant a lot more than Jay-Z coming out with it, because 21 again has the ear of the youth. You know, he's one of the biggest, him, Kodak Black, Artie or whatever, like those guys, you know, Vince Staples, like these guys have the ears of the youth. Where again, Jay-Z is like 40, 50 years removed for some of these guys. And so, like, the youth is very impressionable. And I think you kind of downplay the voice of the youth, because the youth is what's creating all these social media platforms for music to even get out, or for stuff like Instagram, Snapchat. Like, those guys are like our age, you know, like they're young. They're out here just out here killing it. Mark Zuckerberg, when he did, like, they're out here killing it. So, like, Napster was that, when I came out, I was by a young guy, like, so, at the time. So,
it's more putting it in regards to time and reality. And I love everybody that's out there doing their thing, but I'm just feeling like somebody saying 21 Savage's album is better than Jay-Z's album. It's not really a topic. Just a paint.
Yeah, you can't compare. It was the two albums that came out most recently, and it was gonna get attention. I don't know why I got as many retweets it got or whatever. I mean, you know.
Because it's Lonzo Ball. I mean, the game. He got the went wild. So you know, it is a hot topic right now. You know, but at the end of the day, I mean, we can't eliminate the facts that JV's talking about what LeVar Ball's doing with his kids, and 21 is talking about what 21 talks about.
All right, man, let's get into it. So how did you get into the music industry? How did you start your own label?
Music was a, it's bloodline. My dad, he was in a marching band at, in England, Jamaica, one of the two, and he did music. And I didn't really, you know my dad growing up, but, young, I always just had a, I don't know, I just kind of enjoyed it. It was always just, hold on. It was always something that I dug a lot. And pretty much, I remember when I had music class, I hated it at first. And when I started moving around from island to island and place to place in different schools, I ran into this one music teacher who gave me a saxophone. And it was like, she was like, you should have been doing this your whole life, the way that I picked it up and played. And from there, I was doing bad in all my classes. I was a bad kid. Not bad, bad, but like, you know, I was just like, whatever. And, you know, but, the music teacher, she kind of gave me purpose, because like all the other teachers were just like, whatever, not putting blame on them. I mean, I was just another student in the class, but she would like go out of her way, call my family to, put me into band, you know? I wouldn't tell, like, whenever we had, like, you know, recitals and things like that, I wouldn't tell my family. I was like, whatever, I don't care. Like, nobody's going to, whatever. But she would really go out of her way and, like, call everybody to set me up. Like, everybody else showed up on a bus, and I was pretty much, this is not reality, but by the way that she went out of her way, it's like I pulled up in a limo type stuff. So once that happened, I won a lot of awards for the school in the islands. And funny thing, I actually... the reigning school that had all the awards was the previous school that I was a part of. And my teacher there, like, really gave up on me. And when I went to that other school, the one with the teacher that went out of her way, she was like, oh, my goodness, you come from that school? You must be great. And I'm like, no way. I was trash over there. But lo and behold, the gift showed itself, and I ended up, I was the main reason for taking all the awards that year from the school that would usually clean up. And it's funny, I remember at the end of one of the concerts, like, I ran into my old teacher who was, I was with my new teacher, and she was like, oh yeah, we have one of your students. And then he was like kind of playing it to make himself look good. Like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, he was always great knowing that I was trash. But anyways, we had a project saying, this is like 1999, saying the future in music. And pretty much we had to like find out about how technology was going to affect the music industry. And this is like early Napster. And during that time, I did a lot of research and things. I learned about MIDI. I learned about a whole bunch of things, all types of instruments, digital instruments and programs and Pro Tools, I think, just hit the market. Fruity Loops did too. And from there, I got a whole new insight on the other side of the music industry, which is the promotion and charting and all this type of stuff. So I was like, wow, music is something that I really want to do. And I eventually came to America, and obviously I changed schools, and I couldn't keep the instrument that I was playing, and I had to find a new way to continue doing music. So pretty much... I took all those things that I learned in doing that paper, and I said, you know what? F it. I'm going to try to start my own thing. Oh, and also, this is around the time when, like, pop stars and all these shows on, like, TV about reality and things like that, the behind the scenes. So I was like, you know, I can really do this, you know? And this is coming off of Master P's reign. So I was like, you know, I was basically bridging all those gaps with the TV show and the tools that I had and the paper that I did. And I said, I want to do music. So what I started doing was I started, like, you know, making beats on my computer and having my friends come over and record. And what happened was we put our songs on a CD in high school. And just back then, just having your song on a CD was like the biggest thing in the world. Like, oh my goodness, you have a song on a CD that I can play. This is crazy. So we brought it to our friends in school, and they like played it, and they were like, you know, I mean, songs weren't all that good, but just the fact that we had that, it was like people like put us on a whole new level. So anyways, my friends, they kind of got Hollywood about it, and they didn't want to come back and finish. And I'm like, you, like, this is just a song we got. We got to finish a project. We got to put out a product, you know? I'm watching TV, and I'm seeing Making the Band, and they're talking, Puff's, like, yelling at people about release dates and getting shit right for the album. I'm like, we got to do that, too. Anyways, they eventually faded away, and I was like, damn, like, how am I going to make my dream come true as being, like, a producer? So I said, I'm going to rap. I mean, I basically wrote all their lyrics anyway, so let me just go ahead and get my cadence and all that type of stuff right and step in front of the microphone. And the artist was born. I was coming out later in high school, like about to be my senior year, and I was like, I got to put a CD out because around this time, technology started picking up and more people started recording from home. So, or not more people, but like probably two other people. But still, it was... compared to the desert wasteland when I first started, it was a lot. It was threatening. And I'm like, man, I'm the originator. So I had, like, printed up a bunch of flyers and, like, I'd, like, pasted to my shirt. We wore uniforms. And I was, like, doing promo and getting it out there and telling people. And then one of my friends, he worked at a local record label. And he was like, yo, man, I could get you in over here if you want. But the thing is that, like, you know, I can't tell them it's, like, strictly music. So one of my classes, we did, like, little graphics and things like that. So I was like, you know, I have a little class where I learned a little stuff like that. So maybe that could get us in. He's like, yo, let's make it happen. Let's go. So we drove out there. And it was like they wanted, like, I don't know. They said, hey, you could do a business card. I was like, oh, yeah, I can do a business card. But I also do this music. So they were like, oh, for real? So it got me in the door. Wasn't music, but I rapped for the CEO that day. And they were like, yo, you know, or the CEO's brother, I should say. And they were like, yo, you know, you should come back. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to hear, like, the CD that we heard about. So, oh, I skipped school that day, by the way, to go to that record label. So I got back home, and then, like, this is coming up to graduation, and then, you know, my people are like, oh, you skipped school and all this stuff, and they just didn't want me to repeat that previous cycle that I had growing up. So they got real, like, clamped. They put the jail cell on me, and I wasn't able to return. But I was like, you know what, man, that's nothing. Like, I could do so much better on my own anyway, because, I mean, I know all this stuff. I mean, I don't need them. They're not a big record label anyway. You know, just being big-headed. And lo and behold, a year later, that ended up becoming the biggest record label in Miami. That's the label responsible for, like, Rick Ross, Flo Rida, DJ Khaled, you name it. So when that happened, I'm like, damn, wow. Like, I was really not only in there, but more so, like, I just believe it just got to a point where I just said, damn, if I just do things... It just kind of, like, went tunnel vision. Like, I always knew I wanted to do music, but it's like now that showed me that this is real. Because, you know, you hear the stories about demos and you hear the stories about these things. But until those things, like, truly happen to you and you get an opportunity, then it becomes, like, reality. So people were telling me, you know, of course, every artist hears this, you know, oh, man, you should do something else or whatever. But I was like, no, this is my reality. You guys dream about this stuff, but this is stuff that I live. So... obviously I tried to get back over there when they blew up, but you know, they were already set up, so I can't blame them. They were doing their thing. So I, kept on networking post high school, kept working, kept trying to put myself in a position to win. And, I would like use little things that I, little trades and things like that. I was never scared to be a team player. I always knew that I wanted to do the music thing, but whatever it takes to get the job done, I had no problem doing it. You know, I was always ready to get my hands dirty. So whatever it took to get me in little circles, I would get into them, and I would just help out wherever I could. And what happened was I kind of lost sight of where I started, which is, you know, getting other people on, pretty much doing the whole record label thing and me becoming an artist. And I don't know, ego kicked in too. My hugest opportunity was I did a little project for a producer named Kyrie in California. And all I wanted was a beat from Kyrie. I was like, oh, man, I need a beat from Kyrie. Kyrie's responsible for, like, Mac Dre. He did some stuff with Tupac. The whole nine, Vanilla Ice, very big in the 90s. And I loved his stuff because he was probably, don't quote me, but I believe the very first producer to play all his music. Like, when he plays music, it's like no loop. It's all live instruments. So I was like, man, getting a track from Kyrie would be like a dream come true. So eventually, he was trying to restart his record label. Things didn't quite work out, and eventually I got a track from him. And after I, like, sent him the project I put together, he was, like, going crazy about it. Like, yo, man, this is great. And I'm like, really? Like, he's like, yeah, man, this is amazing. And this is, like, mind-blowing with me because I'm like, damn, this is the dude who's, like my whole iPod was Mac Dre, was these people. And it's like, this is the guy that's responsible for it. And he's, like, co-signing me. So I'm like, man, maybe, like, all the doubt immediately evaporated from my mind. So I started working with Kyrie. And I just, this is another being hard-headed, stupid being hard-headed. He was sending me tracks, but he was sending me, like, the skeletons. Like, it would be like, okay, do something off of this, and I'll build the track afterwards. And I tried, but I just couldn't get it. Like, I'm like, damn, like, I need the full thing so I can hear the song, so I can make the song. And he's telling me, like, how him and Mac Dre did certain songs. And I'm like, damn, I hear you, but I just can't make it happen. And eventually, like, our project didn't happen. And I'm like, damn, it just kind of fizzled out. It wasn't like a end-all, be-all, but it was just like, this is more so me looking back. In the moment, my mind was like, all right, it didn't work out, but, you know, I'm good enough to find another situation, whatever the case may be. Being stupid. So that was the first true lick of somebody, like, I look at as a legend getting behind me. So years passed, you know, still working, trying to get the artist thing going. And what happened was I found myself working with this is like probably the life-changing moment, working with Ali from TDE, from Top Dog Entertainment. And what would happen is before that, I was always working with people who kind of – I don't want to say their time has passed, but they weren't hot at the moment. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, Kyrie did this thing in the 90s. Love him. Love, respect his work. But he wasn't on the radio. So me being young and stupid, that's kind of the thing that enlightened me and surprised me. You know, it should have been just about the music, not about where you are and all that marketing crap. So anyways, Kendrick, this is right before Kendrick dropped To Pimp a Butterfly. And I'm helping out Ali or whatever. And when To Pimp a Butterfly came, I'm like, whoa. When it dropped, I'm like, hold up. This album is exactly like what I was just trying to work on. Like, before that, I was working on an album with one of Master P's producers, Odell from Beats by the Pound. And essentially, the goal was to have an album with a lot of live instruments. You know, I love that, obviously, coming from the Kyrie thing. And, I mean, it's so crazy. Like, just about so many things that Kendrick spoke about, I was doing on this album. And even down to the point of having the black and white cover, like how he had like a whole bunch of people on the cover, that was essentially my goal for the cover. And the cover is online, but it's the thing that the goal that I had was you see me on the cover and it's all black behind me. But for the album, it would be like the black would disappear and it would be all the craziness. And the album was called Godspeed. So, which is basically like, you know, wishing you luck on a crazy journey. So, when that album came out, I was like, damn, like this is something that I was trying to do. You get what I'm saying? So immediately I pressed Ali like, yo, man, I'm trying to get down with TDE. I'm trying to be an artist, da 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 da. And he was like, no, man, like, I mean, basically he wasn't telling me what I wanted to hear. You get what I'm saying? So I still helped him out with his project, you know, and I eventually went over to LA, and I was able to like sit in studio sessions with like a few of the artists and stuff like that, and it was dope. It was amazing, and just working with him, seeing how, you know, he's on that huge level of being immediately hot, but the mentality was just so much what I had when I started. Like, it just reminded me of, like, this guy's no different from me. Even though, yes, that's obvious and clear and easy to say, but just experiencing that, where you're with somebody who you look up to, who's immediately on the top of music, and you're like, damn, like, we pretty much started in the exact same place. Me and Ali, like, we saw eye to eye on a ton of shit. So I was like, you know what? All these years of me pressing the artist thing, I, like, lost sight of where it all started. Because the artist thing was only just to fill a gap of being able to have me live my dream of doing the music thing and producing other artists. So me getting caught up and, you know, feeling myself too much, I kind of did too much and did a lot of stupid things. And after dealing with TDE and like experiencing, you know, being around them, I was like, whoa, like, you know, they're just like me. And I could really do this. And obviously, you know, sadly things didn't work out the way we would have hoped. Still no bad blood, but I eventually came back to Miami and I was like, you know what? We're going to go back to right where we started. No cutting these big checks for these hours of studio time and all this craziness trying to do it, you know, big time hip hop. We're going to start right where we started. So set up a little mic and stuff like that in my crib. Got to work. Found a producer, Enterprise. He worked with me, you know, and put together a project. So from there, essentially, a lot of the things that I learned from TDE and whatnot, and just life in general. I mean, I don't want to put too much, you know, spotlight on that time, but, you know, there's a whole lot of lessons learned in between 15 years. And it got me back to right where I am now, where I'm doing the label thing. I'm, in terms of exposure, I'm still have not where I would like to be, but I'm at the peak. I was able to build up my own little fan base and whatnot, a lot of people supporting and streaming the songs and things like that. And enough to where I could say I could give my stuff a fair shot and help other people get a fair shot. So my network has expanded since then, and pretty much the goal from here on out is to put out other artists. So the first project on Car Club Music outside of mine is my producer's project, Enterprise. He did the hip hop thing. That's where I heard him. Like, he had a ton of tracks, and I just heard like, whoa, I hear my album in all these tracks. But he also wanted to do like the EDM different vibe. So I'm like, dude, whatever you need, I mean, you help me out, I'm helping him out. So I'm you guys can check him out, Enterprise with a 3, 3 N-T-E-R-P-R-I-S-E. Just, I mean, so unique. So you just got to put it in Google, but his Twitter's that, Facebook, whatever. And we're currently pushing his song Canceled Up right now. We're going to do a video soon. There's currently about 4 artists, potentially 5 on the label. Me, Enterprise, that makes 2. I have a singer. I have 2 singers, actually, but they're on their way, and I have another rapper. So we're just figuring out the situation with them behind the scenes in terms of, you know, making sure that everything is right in terms of putting their projects together and their music together before I, you know, do the full rollout and announce them. But as far as right now, it's me and Enterprise. And yeah, man, we're just working, I'm mentally to where I started, and just hoping for the best.
Awesome. What, and like you mentioned, you know, Kyrie being a producer for these legends, but currently on your journey, you worked with several different artists and several different like production labels or whatnot. Who inspires you now, and like who do you listen to currently, or like you know like you mentioned the TDE experience, you mentioned the Kyrie, and you know I've talked to you in the past, and you mentioned other people that you have worked for or been affiliated with. Do you listen to these artists, or was it just more of a like you know you don't have to go into specifics, but was it like more of like an opportunity thing for you, or was it because you were a fan? I mean, like you said, like the Kyrie thing, you were a fan, but like, as you navigate through what you're doing right now, were you able to work with artists that you listen to, or are there people that you listen to that you haven't been able? Like, how does it like? Who do you listen to now, and who inspires you? And have you worked with people that you did listen? Well, I know Kyrie. I'm sure other people, but are there other people that you do want to work with?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I work for myself full time. So, there's passion projects and there's paid projects. All my paid projects don't come from anything music related. But it's like the same thing that I do in music, which is pretty much just, you know, helping people get off the ground. So basically I say that to say, in order to do these passion projects, I must be passionate about the artist or the person. So Kyrie, I wasn't a fan. I was a stan. Like every bit of anything that I could find back then on Kyrie, I knew about it. Kyrie, Shahid, everything. Crazy about Kyrie. Ali, I was a fan of Kendrick. Always been a fan of Kendrick. From the early days, I would always tell people about Kendrick. Pretty much anybody who knows me and hears this, they're going to be like, yeah, we first heard of Kendrick Lamar through you. So I was always a fan of Kendrick. But then Ali, when we got cool, it's like I became a fan of him too, because just seeing how he was in terms of what he wanted to do and his goals and things like that were just so similar to mine. So that also became a passion project as well too. So I've been blessed to pretty much be around a lot of the people that I looked up to. The only person that I'm missing is Jay-Z, but I've met E-40. E-40 is a big influence. I've worked with a lot of people. One of my coolest engineers, he was a part of Digital Underground. And, you know, obviously, a lot of Bay Area stuff is like pretty much my what I love. And the reason why, to give the Bay Area a spotlight, is that in the early 2000s, like, I was like, there has to be more than this. There has to be more music than what's on the radio. And I forgot how I stumbled upon the Bay Area, but it's like a whole industry. And these guys are truly independent. That's why this whole independent thing has a different definition to me, because these guys, like, they really operate in their own industry in California. And they had real careers doing shows and all. And I didn't get a peep or hear about them in Miami. But then in Miami, artists didn't have mixtapes. It was like either you're Trick Daddy or Jackie O. Either you have a major album or you have nothing. Maybe there was a couple of mixtapes out there, but there was no independent albums. Whereas these guys in the Bay Area were dropping full-on albums with points and contracts. And, you know, every time I talk to these producers, they're like, oh, what's your budget? How many points? How many da da da? So I'm like, damn, this is like big time. This is major without a deal. You get what I'm saying? So to finally answer your question, in terms of people that as far as people that I have worked with, I've been a super fan. So I've never really worked with anybody that I haven't truly been a fan of in some way. And as far as people that I'm missing that I have yet to work with, it would be just Jay-Z.
Who do you listen to currently?
I listen to everything. I listen to only album I haven't heard recent is 21's. I'm gonna check it out. I'm a fan of 21 Savage. I'm a fan of Jay-Z. 444 has been taking up my rotation a lot. Leon Bridges. I like a lot of Leon. I like LCD Sound System. I like. I've been listening to who else? Kalila, Solange. Solange's album gets a lot of replay from me. A lot. I mean, my taste varies. One of my favorite artists is Chris Cornell. So any band that he's been a part of, whether it be Audioslave, Soundgarden, Temple of a Dog, Love 'em all. Even Pearl Jam, when they were merged with, when they were Temple of a Dog. I love everything. And it's very sad that, you know, we lost him recently. But that's like my non-rap idol.
Non-rap idol. So would it be fair to say the collabo that you would want to have is with Jay-Z or any other artist that you're like, yo, you know, I mean, like I would love to have like a project with them or something, you know, do have something done, do a song, anything, you know, any other collabos you may.
I wouldn't want to collaborate with Jay-Z, because I'm too much of a fan. Remember, I'm an artist second, so I'm a fan, producer, then artist. So it's like I never really believed in myself as an artist. Unfortunately, I hate to put that out on air, but it took time for me to understand that. Yeah, I'm better than a lot, but I don't feel great enough. I kind of like to have Jay-Z just have his own place. Now, who I would like to collab with, and it's more so because of the significance, is Chuck D. I would love to do a song with Chuck D. I was trying to do a song with Boots from The Coop, but it's more so the significance than anything. So even if it's like they speak on a track, that's the blessing, you know. Jay-Z is more of a skill thing too. Significance is definitely there, but like I said, it took me a while to gravitate to Jay-Z, so I don't put him in that same category. But when I was young, it was a lot of Public Enemy, it was a lot of The Coop, so those guys are people that, you know, I've really I wouldn't mind doing something with.
All right, let's switch it up real quick before we end the show. When we have our guests, we usually have this little thing called Versus, and basically, you have to pick who and why. You ready?
Yep.
Let's get it. Tupac versus Biggie.
That's Tupac. All significant. Biggie's a great rapper. Great lyricist. But Tupac was like superstar. His history. What, Asada Shakur, his mom with the Black Panthers. Too much to name. Death Row. That people forget. Death Row is an independent label. Wow, the list goes on, but definitely Tupac. But oh well, I'll say this lyrically, Biggie, but overall, Tupac.
I'm not gonna let you get past with that lyrically, because I am from the West Coast. But Jigga versus Nas.
Overall, Jay-Z officially surpassed Nas with 444. Overall, Nas definitely great, amazing, legend, but my personal opinion, one thing about Jay-Z, boy, he could go in, and 444, there was not one wasted bar. Wow. Not saying Nas has any, but to have them resonate like that, culturally, historically, I don't know, man. I haven't heard it. Hopefully Nas could bring it. So next time you ask me that, I'll say Ty. But as of now, Jay-Z got it.
Kanye versus Drake.
Not even a comparison, Kanye. And, I mean, I'm sure the reasons the listeners probably already know.
Kendrick versus J. Cole.
Kendrick. Way deeper. Way more complex. You really appreciate his music. Kendrick's one of the artists that music stops playing. So much more that wasn't heard. So one thing about Kendrick, you can go on Genius and like look at his lyrics, and you'll see like a lot of depth and a lot of effort and things put into the art that I feel J. Cole hasn't translated as well as yet, I'll say.
Three Stacks versus Common.
Common. Until Three Stacks put out that album, or any album, Common has that. Common has to take that crown. But that's a good. That's a pretty good versus to do, to be honest with you. They're kind of in the same realm, but definitely. Sorry, Common.
Don't say any album. You got the Love Below. I understand you. People consider it as like, you know. I mean.
But see, that's the thing. We're drawing. We're trying to juice something that isn't. Yes, it is. Love Below is an album, but they didn't. Only until this debate has come up, then we say, okay, yes, he does have a solo album, which is The Love Below. But at the time, it was just an Outkast album that was two discs, and they each had their own part. So in hindsight, we're calling it that, but nah, we're making excuses now.
Kendrick versus Big Sean. We're gonna start out with the next like three or four. We're gonna have just current ish rap beats.
Kendrick. Big Sean's type, but Kendrick is a monster.
Jay-Z versus Drake.
Dude. Jay-Z, man.
Migos versus Joe Budden. Does it look like I've been left off Bad and Bougie?
Migos are definitely doing their thing. Fan of both. I got to give it to Joe Budden. I know people are going to hate me for this, but Joe Budden stood the test of time. So the fact that we're talking about Joe Budden right now in 2017, which some people might classify his career as being a one-hit wonder, that says a lot. Migos is definitely doing the thing, but I just need more time.
Last but not least, you did not see this one. More of like an impromptu one. 21. Savage versus Kodak Black.
Kodak. Kodak is a Kodak is tight work. I love a lot of 21's music. I love the project he did with Metro. That was a dope ass project. But Kodak. I hear a lot of great things from Kodak. Like, as an adult, for Kodak's music to resonate with me, like, lyrically, like, I believe Kodak is here to stay. Kodak is, like, one of our future, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, potentially, like, a Boosie or a lot of the Southern legends who've, like, stood the test of time that are very relevant. I could see Kodak being super relevant pretty much forever. Honestly, I might see him, honestly, one classic. Or even close to classic, Kodak could potentially be a future legend, in my opinion.
I praise it for that man, Kodak. All right, I see you. Let me say this. You know, I've heard your story maybe about twice now, and it always, you know, it never ceases to amaze me, your journey. And I hope that's what people got today, like, you know, like your journey. And the fact that you've, throughout the years, you know, a lot of great people, they were shunned in the beginning. You know, you mentioned the story about your teacher in the beginning when you went to, like, a class, like an instrument class or whatnot, or a music class, and from the first school. And either you weren't feeling it or the teacher wasn't motivating you, right? Switch schools, which is probably a blessing in disguise because probably missed your friends or whatnot. But then look where you at now, probably over 20 years later. And from that point on, it literally birthed and it planted that seed of music and you being able to pursue something and, you know, continue to pursue your dreams and your passions. And you know, I think people should look out and look up to maybe. Well, you, obviously, and I know you want to get to a higher status, but just understand that, you know, things take time. And one thing I can learn is, and one thing I could definitely say, it's about patience, you know, playing a long game, don't thinking that you have everything overnight. And, you know, you didn't get into too much of your downfalls, but you kind of did. You know, I mean, if you can read between the lines, you know, stuff. You kind of you talked about your ego and stuff like that, and it happened. You were young. You were bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and just trying to get it. But instead of riding people's coattails, you know, you're doing something for your own. And I think that's like the biggest thing that I took away from this is that, you know, you believed in yourself so much that your belief overpowered your desire to work with other people. You're like, I can work. I can do this on my own because I've always had this talent. And not that it's a negative, because I believe there's followers and leaders, and I do believe that you're definitely a leader because you're doing this on your own. And you know, it's tight that you were telling me, like, you're one of the first people that ever had music on CDs. You know, when people...
Well, at my school. Not his school.
Yeah. That's your school. But still, to be even have, you know, to be that ambitious, you know? So, I rock with it, man, and I really think it's a dope story, and I really do, you know, whatever we can do to help promote or help you guys out, let us know, man, because we got your back, and I like it. It's a dope story. So, you know, before you leave, you gotta let the people know where they can find you at. Let the people know what the single is, your project, and all that, you know, all that jazz.
No doubt. CarClubMusic.com. That's the focus. CarClubMusic.com. Nobody wins when the family feuds. So putting together a team, putting together a project. Of course, there's instances, but we're trying to make the most of it. And one thing I really wish I kind of touched on more is just the idea of teamwork. And not everybody's going to work out the best together. But once you have somebody that's going to go the long run and be a team player, they might not be. Look at the Patriots. You know, they won so many Super Bowls with so many on paper subpar receivers. But, you know, they brought home the most championships. So it's all about the team and working together. And Car Club Music is where it's at. I'm not even going to say any of my social networks. You'll find me at carclubmusic.com. If you really want to see some stuff about me, then go ahead and rewind the episodes at the beginning, and I say my social. But it's all about carclubmusic.com.
I hear you, Brad. You all can find us at FTESWL.com. The Twitter is at FTESWL now. We dropped the one. So it's at FTESWL. And I appreciate you, Carr. We look forward to putting out this interview. Hopefully, the audio is better on this one. And you know, we look forward to hearing more music from your label.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. And much success to you.
Love, bro. Love. Everybody, stay blessed. Stay positive. We're out.